and welcome to the Solve Network. My name is Shane Borza, and I'll be your host. Along with my co-founder, Benjamin Goss, we'd like to welcome you. Our mission is to provide solutions and create a network of experts for you to learn from. Now, this show is a little different than most podcasts, as it is actually a live call held twice a month. If you can, please join us on the first and third Thursday of each month so you can get your questions answered live and direct from the experts themselves. If you're an expert, please contact me at shaneborza.com so you can be a part of the network. And now, here's our show. Today on the Solve Network, we have a bonus episode with business coach Haley Rowe. She is our guest expert for a reason, because she helps people go from being a certified coach to a profitable one. Please enjoy this bonus discussion and Q&A with Haley.
Scene one, Apple, take one.
Hi, I'm Shane Borza, your content creator coach. I have two books on filmmaking, Film Notes, where you learn to write, direct, and produce, and the Film Notes Workbook, where you can learn checklists and paperwork to streamline creating your content. Available at shaneborza.com. I also have filmmaker resources like the Paperwork Bundle with over 300 documents, the Sound Effects Bundle with almost 3,000 files, and the Music Bundle featuring 900 tracks of all genres. Want to build your professional credits? Become an associate producer and get listed on IMDb? Let me help you get your art out into the world.
Scene one, Apple, take one.
You mentioned that you have your Facebook groups and you have a range of prices and you have a number of offerings. So how are you balancing the different aspects of your business? I'm sure a lot of people on the call or listening are, you know, they might have their primary job and then they have coaching or something like as a side hustle, or they may have multiple things that they're offering. So as an example, Ben and I are doing the Solve Network. We're also writing a book. I'm also an indie filmmaker. I'm also a coach. So trying to kind of balance, you know, wanting to have everything have its time and everything have its focus is something that is sometimes a challenge. And so I think that that can be applicable to most people in the macro. Like, how do you balance family time with work time, for instance? But then specifically for if you have a practice and you have like three different offerings. So for instance, if you have health and wellness as that you're coaching clients for, and then you're also running this coaching for coaches, and then you're also running. So, you know what I mean? So I think both are really important to speak about. Would you be able to do that?
Totally. So yes, I still have a few local in-home personal training clients. And so I still, and I do Instagram stories for a few realtors locally. Just so it is weird because you don't have to play. There's no rules. Like you can, if you feel you can help somebody, and I've been health coaching since 2010, and if the right people or you really like someone or whatever. So it is interesting because you're constantly having switching costs, like you're like transition times, which I'm sure for Shane, it's way more intense than it would be for me going from coaching a personal training client to a business coaching client. Hey, Audrey, thanks. Thanks for watching. Talk to you later. But I also sing in a wedding band on the weekends, and that gets really tiring because in the summer we're driving all over the place. You're not home till 2 a.m., et cetera. And then during the week, I'm on a normal schedule. So I get that. And also I have a lot of clients who work full time and now they want to start their coaching business. And they literally do not have the option to do certain things. And we have to say, well, if you only have X amount of time, do your reach outs or do your whatever is the most important at the time. Like we need to figure out what your actual program is or whatever. So my suggestion would be your question is how to balance and juggle it all. I would first, I do think you can have it all, but not all at once. It's something that I have to remind myself sometimes. So pick the top thing, the biggest dream, the biggest focus. So if it's your book right now, and you're going to give yourself permission to kind of bomb some other areas at this time, do it. Because we can't, if we try to do it all, our brains get very, nothing gets done very well. So yeah. So, and see what I also outsource things, which I could talk about, but I don't know if that's what your audience is interested in. But the other thing I would do is read the book. What's it called? It's by John Acuff. It's called Finish. And he talks about how you have to be okay sometimes with B+ work, and done is better than perfect, and taking messy action. It's a really, really good book for people who just are perfectionists or don't have a lot of time and they're spending too much time on analysis paralysis. The other thing that I would say is every week, like I said, I write down my basics, which are like, okay, do my, right now, currently one of my basics is going live on my Facebook page a lot more often because I'm trying to understand my insights if I was ever going to do an ad. So that's one of my basics. Then I have my personal connections with people. I have, you know, my health stuff. So work out or move or whatever. So I have my little list of basics. I try to make sure I do those first and then everything else. But yeah, so pick your basics, keep them separate, have a little checkbox by them so you stay consistent. You can look back at how consistent you actually are and allow the rest to be the 20%, for example.
This is super helpful, Haley.
Yeah.
Wondering what you recommend, and maybe this was on one of the slides that I missed at the start, is for people who have like basically no following on their Facebook page or Instagram, where do you recommend people spend their time? Like, what do you think is the most valuable for people that are kind of starting from relatively zero on the social scale?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It depends on, so for example, if your ideal client was, you know, it depends on your ideal client. So if they hang out more on Facebook, you think, and you feel that, then I would say focus on Facebook. If you think that they're more Instagram savvy, then do that. But ideally you'd have both and you could just repurpose the content from both. As far as how to start growing them, I would, if you don't already have, whoever you already have anywhere in your email list, from your coaching colleagues, if they know anybody, because each coach has a different niche too. So if they happen to know somebody who might benefit from your type of coaching, that's a good thing. Just get whoever you can first, and then you can start to do the things like get into Facebook communities where your ideal client hangs out, look up hashtags on Instagram, for example, on the search page, and start liking and engaging with other people on Instagram and following them who, because they seem like an ideal client, they seem like they'd like your tips, they like, have common interests, and then maybe they follow you back. You could technically, if you wanted to, do some kind of incentive or giveaway or team up with other people who have a small following, but both of you guys could help each other out. Some kind of collaboration there. Also just getting involved in other places is the best way to connect with people and have yours. And even in some of those Facebook networking groups, they have days where they're like, share your Facebook page and people will follow. Now, if you're like, well, aren't those just other entrepreneurs? Yeah, sometimes, but sometimes you can connect with them, see if they know anyone, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's helpful. And I guess the one thing is sometimes there are like Facebook or Instagram takeovers like for a week, right? So maybe that would be, I think I'm going to target LinkedIn primarily.
Oh, that's amazing.
And that'll probably mean sharing industry related articles and of other people and of my own.
Yeah. Well, in LinkedIn, you can actually have a group on LinkedIn. So much easier because I don't know why. I think it's just because people are there to connect or I don't know, but it is my group on LinkedIn started like, I don't know, not very long ago, maybe 5 weeks ago. And it gets like 14. Now I have somebody I'm working with who I would like to, if you ever want to get help on LinkedIn, there's a great guy who's been really helping me. But it's been growing like 14 requests a day. And it's way easier than Facebook. First, by just people are fast to do things on LinkedIn for some reason. So I would say that's a very good idea. And if you can start a group on LinkedIn, that might be cool. It's not as poppin as Facebook groups. Like Facebook groups are very active and engaged, but it's very easy to get people in the door in your LinkedIn group. And then you can connect to Facebook or wherever you want to hang out.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I suppose theoretically I could be like, okay, LinkedIn is for Mondays, Facebook is for Wednesdays, you know, Instagram's for Friday or whatever.
Yeah. You could do that, or you could have one post and just share it everywhere. You could also use something like Hootsuite, which allows you to post on multiple platforms and schedule them. However, Hootsuite, when it comes to the apps themselves, the algorithms don't like when you use a separate tool to schedule posts for you. It doesn't get as much attention on the news feeds because they like when you post directly in there. Actual platform. But yeah, those are some ways you can get it all done without having to take a ton of time. But also, James, I would focus on 1 to 2 platforms for like 3 to 6 months, just to not over like make it your focus instead of trying to be everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That's helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to jump in again and kind of shift the conversation a little bit. We have had a mastermind group since last spring. And one of the things that we talked about when we first started was podcasting. And since you have a podcast yourself, I'd like to get your thoughts on a couple things. One of our friends who's not on the call tonight, but has been consistently active throughout the year, he and his wife had a podcast, and he is very interested in using podcasting specifically to not only get their message out there, but to help kind of brand them on, you know, a larger scale than just using social media platforms, things like that. For instance, they talked about, you know, using sponsors and advertising and being a reciprocal guest. You know, if they get someone on their podcast, they become a guest on the other person's podcast, or, you know, things like that. And they were the only one in our group that had any kind of podcasting experience or aspirations. But I was recently a guest on a podcast for the first time, which was actually really thrilling. And I sent it out and I had a lot of people respond. But it's still not really anything that I know anything about. And so I'm just curious why you got into podcasting and what your experience has been in mixing the podcasting in with what you're already doing.
Yeah. Well, first of all, congrats. That's awesome. And I actually think I saw that email go out with, I downloaded it. I got to listen to it, your podcast interview. And you're more than welcome to be on mine too. But anyways, so I just love podcasts. That is what I consume the most out of all the platforms. So that was just always a little dream of mine, but also from a practical perspective, it is so great for a few reasons. One, it gets you posting on your website every week if you want to improve your SEO, if that's how often you do your podcast episodes, for example. I found out today and I haven't done any paid like SEO stuff. I've been doing my podcast since 2017, maybe. But when I search business coach for health coaches, because that's my primary niche, I come up on the first page, which is shocking to me. Like, but I think it's because I've been consistent with the podcast every week. So it helps your SEO. That's one thing. If you put show notes in there, it is a long-term strategy. So for example, I had my podcast out for about, and it was very inconsistent in the beginning. I'll be really honest. It was not what I would recommend anybody who starts a podcast, but it took me about a little over a year to get a first client inquiry from it. I got a lot of group members. I got a lot of people connecting on my social media, but to actually have like a client person from it, it took a long time. So I would define podcasting as a long-term strategy, but it's passive because that person just came to me versus, you know, anywhere else. So that's the second thing. The third thing is when you have guests on your podcast every week, it's a killer, A, relationship builder, and B, they share it with their audience and you share it with yours. So it's more reach. Two is better than one. So that's a huge reason why I like to do it. And also it makes me, it allows me to talk to people who I always have wanted to talk to and share it with others. So it's just, it gets me in the practice of being consistently learning about my field and, you know, getting it in the schedule. So.
And for those of you who don't know, can you direct people to your podcast?
Yeah, it's called Health Coach Nation. I have a ton of links that are just like in case we needed them. I have it here. I'll put in the notes. But if you just search Health Coach Nation on iTunes, or if you go to Haley Rowe, Haileyroe, Rowe, ROWE.com/blogs, you'll see all my show notes pages come up.
So while you're typing that, Ben was just saying that he had a couple questions. So Ben, why don't you go ahead and jump in?
Sorry, you were just in the flow and I just stopped. So I didn't want to interrupt your flow there. I thought you were making some good points there. So obviously Shane and I are working on the Solve Network, which is kind of like right now we're serving more coaches than anybody else right now, only because that's Shane's, I don't want to say primary circle, but that's his most active circle of influence or whatever. And then I know a lot of professionals that, you know, sell on a B2B or B2C level, but even the B2B is kind of like one of my friends is a Facebook marketer. We've had her on. I've got another friend who's a LinkedIn specialist. He was on. So, you know, Shane and I are kind of like, we both have individual coaching and consulting that we do. Like Shane's more of the fitness, mental awareness, you know, emotionally stable kind of coach, for lack of a better way to put it. I'm more of the business, executive leadership, sales coach. Like, I can write a sales script. I can help somebody with their verbiage. I can help somebody understand, you know, how do you reframe, reposition, loop back into the close and ask again. You know, I can talk about how you adjust your offer without commoditizing yourself. So, you know, sometimes I feel like mine's a little bit more technical. Mm-hmm. There's certainly a mental aspect to it, but I was wondering if you could answer a couple of questions because, you know, my biggest issue is having time. Like I don't have hours and hours to sit on LinkedIn and send out manual invitations. Yeah. I don't have, like, you know, my wife, I don't want to say she lives on Facebook, but she's on Facebook a lot. you know, I'll look at my Facebook and I got to reply to a bunch of her stuff. Otherwise I appear inattentive. And then I also say, hey, you need to tag me because for some reason your stuff doesn't always come up in my feed. So don't be mad at me. So she's like, all you got to do is look at my page. I'm like, yes, okay, well, I'm just not that great. So anyway, I'm like, I'm busy trying to make money, right? Yeah. So my questions, I've got three questions for you. And you can answer them in whatever order you see fit. That way I can just ask my questions and I can mute myself because I've probably got a little background noise. I don't know how much is coming through. So I tried to disconnect from my truck, but when I disconnected from my truck, the speaker turned off and I couldn't hear anything. So I have to stay connected. Anyway, so, my first question is automated marketing. Are you using funnels? You like funnels? Funnels are expensive. You don't like them at all. I know that there's a lot of stuff that you can do on different social media platforms, so it's not necessary, but I'm wondering if you see that as an enhancement or, you know, maybe that's a level two or a level three for a coach. Mm-hmm. 'Cause from my perspective, it seems like if you're going to do that, you need to be able to have $300 to $400 a month to safely invest and not feel, you know, crunched, if you will. Mm-hmm. My second question is, What's your perspective of, and we'll just talk about it generically. You could talk about it as it applies to your coaching practice specifically, but what are your thoughts on men coaching women versus women coaching men? You know, basically, let's say across gender lines as opposed to gender aligned, for lack of a better way to put it. I mean, I've seen pros and cons to both sides. So I'm just curious as to your perspective as to what you see there, why somebody would choose somebody that's opposite gender versus the same. Mm-hmm. And then my last question is, you know, to get you to promote yourself a little bit more, you know, why does somebody pick Haley Rowe over somebody else, like, I don't know, Mary Smith or something, or Mari, whatever she goes by. I'm just throwing her out as a, for instance, I think she's a Twitter genius or something. I don't remember. Anyway, I just threw out there because Amy Porterfield, she's another coach to coaches that I've heard of. She's got some of those, you know, free webinars on the five things you need in your webinar to be good. And, you know, a lot of those things are like the same. But so anyway, why you versus somebody else? So I don't know. All those questions make sense. If you want, if you need me to do, I can repeat them. But that's what I was looking to hear from you.
Awesome. Awesome questions. So for the funnels, I'll go with that one first. I do think email marketing, first of all, social media we cannot ever depend on, because I just heard from somebody today that she had a Facebook group of 2,900 people or something. And overnight, Facebook, it was about health and wellness. And I think Facebook's putting rules about what you can talk, like hiding stuff about health. There's some weird stuff going on with what Facebook allows these days or something. Closed down the entire group, lost every person. So email is the best way to capture your audience, and you should absolutely have, even if you can't afford a full funnel right now or a full beautiful CRM system that captures all your emails and can do landing pages and could be the best, you know, host your courses and do it, be a one-stop shop, at least set up a free email account for now. MailChimp, or there's Mail, I can't remember the name of, it's another name similar to that, but there's free ones you can use in the meantime. If you're a new coach and you can't afford it yet, that you should absolutely have a simple landing page and get emails. Even if they get one email, that's a welcome email. And then you follow up with them from there until you have a funnel, but yes, absolutely gather emails. And upon, when people request to join my group, I say in order to get your free gift, which is, I mean, I have many, but my free niche marketing training and 5-star Instagram bio checklist, what's your email? And then they go into they get my gift. So yes, funnels, I am working on those. I think that it's more for if you have courses that are low, if you have a high ticket option, you can use a funnel to invite people to book a call with you. And that's a great way to use your funnel. But funnels are better, in my opinion, or if you have a lower ticket offer, a course, you want to keep nurturing. It's great to nurture people as well, just like any other social media platform. But the funnels that I've been doing, like for example, I have a sales course. I've put together a funnel for that. It starts with my free sales journal, and it goes from there. So I am a fan of it. I just think if you're a new coach, the main thing you should be focusing on is getting the emails and just nurturing them every week and driving them to wherever you're hanging out, doing your Facebook lives or whatever, and inviting them to a free strategy call before you can fully develop a funnel, and start there. But when you are ready to do a funnel, I have templates for that in my program about what email you should do what in, when is it too early to sell, value emails versus sales emails, how to write those. But I think it can be very easy because you can model successful people's funnels if you really wanted to. So I hope that answers your question. Okay. And then the second thing is, your question was about gender. So I have never had a problem. I find in the beginning of my coaching business, actually more of my clients were men. And now all of my clients currently are women. So it just depends. I think that people, it's who they resonate with and who they see can get results. I've worked with female coaches. I've worked with male coaches. Currently, I'm working with a male coach, and I love it because it's more of who balances out what you don't have. So in other words, I know I have the creative ideas. I can go live and be on video, I like all that stuff. My coach is very, very good at logical, macro level, from a business standpoint, I wouldn't do this or that, which I mean, I'm good at too, but he sees things that add on and enhance what I would have already had done. So I think it's more about finding who you feel, just like dating. It's like, who do you feel has the collaborative components that you don't really see or you don't really have? Any coach that has a bird's eye view and is not as in it in your business as you are is good, but it's more about the personal connection, who matches, who is a nice compatible match, and who do you feel fit with. My branding is all light pink and very feminine, and yet I still have some guys every once in a while. So, and that goes to, that just demonstrates that even when you're very, very specific on your niche, sometimes the people who don't fit that niche, if they still match your values and if they still get value from your content, don't be afraid to get specific on your niche, because they'll still come around. They'll still show up, right? So that's what I'd say about gender. And the last question about, you know, why work with you over other people. Part of it, I think, first of all, I am very, very structured, and I will give you the exact, for your personal game plan, you only have 2 hours a week, we'll work with that. You have certain circumstances we have to work around, we'll work with that. And I'll tell you exactly what to prioritize for the week. When you do a program like Amy Porterfield's, it's a bigger group. You get a little more lost in the shuffle. In my group, my group program is super hands-on. You get weekly calls with me live. So just from the personal touch point stand view, I'm really there. Second is, I've had clients tell me that I don't want to work with somebody who's like a huge millionaire, because I want to work with somebody who's six figures or above or full-time in their coaching business, but not like Amy Porterfield, because I don't see that far yet. This is the stage I'm in, and I need to actually like talk to somebody live about, I need somebody to watch my discovery call and give me feedback. I need somebody to, and they're not going to do that, right? So you need somebody who's steps ahead of you for sure. But sometimes people feel like if they go to Tony Robbins, who charges $250,000 a coaching session and is not, can't relate to where they're at right now in their journey at all, that's rough. And then the last thing is, I think, okay. If you check out, I feel that I'm very, flexible with people. So example, with my clients, if they have a life situation, one of my clients who, a breakup right now, she needed a break from coaching. We can pause her program. She can come back when she's ready. So I don't know. I think it's more just being a human to other humans. And yeah.
Can you talk about how you avoid being commoditized, or making sure that you show your clients that your time and expertise has value and you're not just an add-on ride along? Well, if you like it, great. I don't know. I mean, do you not find that's an issue because of how you frame the onboarding, or like, is that something that you had to learn along the way? Cause I would have, you know, I know there are clients or coaches that structure with that. If you look at my LinkedIn profile, I'm really blunt and out front. I'm like, look, if you're not ready to pay, don't call me. Cause I'm not like, I'm not into time vampires. I'm not going to give you 8 hours. I'm not going to give you 8 hours of consulting for free while you, well, you know, I'm really just trying to decide, how would you handle this? You know, that sort of thing. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Okay. So I definitely went through my phase of I call them free vampires, and they just suck you dry. They will never buy from you ever. So I have a very, now for this group, I sent you directly to a simple calendar link that has a few questions, but I have a pretty extensive application form on my website. It's haleyrowe.com/strategy-call. And I always look through that. And if they're not like an 8 out of 10 motivated at least, and if they don't say that, if they say they're not looking to invest or they're not willing to be resourceful to invest, like I ask questions like that. And if they say no, I usually send them an email and say something like, hey, I noticed you said this in your application. I just want to let you know, I'm not sure if we're going to be a match. I work with people who are really wanting to do this full time and are open to, you know, getting the support they need. Let me know if you still want to connect for a call. So I have my application form. That's one thing. The second thing is know which kind of call you're going into. So in other words, if I don't know if somebody's qualified yet and I'm just, you know, I'm not, maybe there was, we connected somewhere or whatever, I don't necessarily, I make that a shorter call. So we don't go through a whole discovery call and waste an entire hour. And then I realize at the end, they're not even interested in buying anything. So I always start small with something, start small. Typically, if I'm not quite sure, if they didn't go through the normal process that I usually have my clients go through. And then right at the beginning of the call, if it's a discovery call, you can ask questions like, you know, you give them a roadmap of what the call is, but then you could say something like, I noticed on your form that you said you were 10 out of 10 motivated and you were willing to invest my range of coaching options if you feel like it's a good fit and it can solve your problems. I just want to make sure before we get into anything that's still true and you know, if you have any questions about that type of thing. So you can be direct like that.
My last question for you, I don't know what else to call it. I'm going to call it an indoctrination loop. Do you make use of any pre-framing material? Like before somebody books a call, do you say, hey, I need you to watch these three videos and then answer these questions? Or how are you framing that discovery call so that it's productive and not a wandering, aimless, hey, how are you?
So in my application form, I ask them, what do you specifically want to discuss on your call? Or I ask them something like, what's your biggest problem right now that you want to solve? So that we know going in, like that's what they struggle with. And I can understand that. The other thing I do is send that email when their application form comes in, I say, hey, I looked at your application form. I think we might be a fit to work together. I'd love to connect with you. Here's the link to book a call. Here's what to expect. Here's three videos to get you started. And I send like a mindset video that overcomes common concerns or objections. I send one of my like educational videos. I send my testimonials link to all those. And that way they're able to kind of soak that in before. I don't make it a required or anything. I haven't had any trouble really with people just completely blindly coming onto calls, but that's what the pre-framing email has been important.
So I'm just going to jump in. So we have about 10 minutes left and we don't need to take the 10 minutes, but if anyone has any final questions, I would encourage you to ask now. So we do have time to wrap up in a few minutes.
Hey, it sounds like Haley was making an offer or alluding to an offer earlier. So I would ask Haley to share her offer.
Yeah. So my offer is book a call because it depends on the person and what you're looking for. But what I do offer is private coaching, a 6-month package. And then I also have a group program that's 3 months. And in my programs, here's the typical structure of it. But obviously, if you're doing one-on-one coaching, we're able to personalize it a little more. Typically, my pillars or what we go through are, who is your ideal client? How do we actually find them? Doing market research so that if you've made a coaching offer and it's not selling yet, or you don't have an offer at all, we do research and I tell you how, you know, we go over how to find those people and what to ask them and how it works. But basically we want to make sure that if you're going to put something out, it's actually going to sell and people will, you know, what their concerns are, what they pay for, what keeps them up at night, et cetera, your ideal client specifically. Then we move into talking about your offer and creating what kind of offer you want to do, or two offers, however many offers you want to have. I typically recommend my clients start with two, and I typically recommend they start with one-on-one high-ticket coaching. Even though some people say you should start with courses or you should start with a group program, we can do that if we work together. Typically, though, I find the easiest path and the way that you start to gather your group program materials and how you do it is by starting with private coaching and having people go through your program. Then we go, so how to create a sellable offer. We talk about your sales process, how to have discovery calls. I give you templates for everything throughout my program. So everything's super guided, and like you'll have your elevator pitch and your unique value statement and how to lead a discovery call and how to overcome common objections, et cetera. So how to have your sales program going. And then we talk about marketing, obviously. So social media marketing, local marketing, how to create content that's not just inspirational, but actually drives action, email marketing. I have guest speakers throughout my program. I have six of them and two more coming in soon. There's somebody who talks about Pinterest. There's somebody who talks about local marketing. Actually, she was a human potential coach. She speaks at Google and some other big thing in San Francisco about mindfulness and meditation. So she talked about how she did that. We have a lawyer who talks about what you're legally allowed to do with coaching and not allowed to do, and what you need to include in your contract and your onboarding process. We have, who else am I missing? An adaptability and leadership coach who talks about just time management, managing your own self, discipline. We have a storytelling coach who talks about how to create your signature story, how to become a speaker if that's something you want to do, and how to use that even in your Facebook Lives and things like that if you're not going to speak professionally. So like I said, in addition, we have the guest speakers, my coaching. You have an entire learning platform. As private clients, you also get to be a part of my group program. So you can come to the group program calls. You can post in the group. You get all the same stuff. So those are my two main offers. But at the same time, I do have a sales course. And that is just focused on the discovery call sales process situation. And I can put, I can send you all this stuff, James, or we can connect. But the sales course link I can send if we want to include that in the email after this.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you, Haley.
Yeah, thank you.
So we have a few minutes left, and I am going to repeat what I started off at the beginning because it was cut out. So just as a final thing for Haley, is there anything else that you'd like to say, or is there anything you'd like to put some light on if you have anything coming up that you'd like to let people know? And then finally, where would you most like to direct people so that they can either follow up with you, book time with you, or find out more information about what you're doing?
Yeah. So I would say the best place to be is my Facebook group. It's Health Coach Nation. It's just facebook.com/groups. And then I'll put it in the comments here, /Health Coach Nation. And you don't have to be a health coach to join. There's several service providers in there. And then the other way, like I said, if you book your call before January 5th, you can have opportunities for bonuses and my early bird pricing for my coaching for 2020. And then the last thing I want to say is, even if you're not sure you want to work with a coach, but you want to outsource things, I have several people I'm actually bringing onto my team to do things for my clients. So I have somebody who can get you podcast interviews. I have somebody who can do LinkedIn lead gen and book you up to 30 calls at least per month. I have a Pinterest girl. So if you're just more like, I don't know what I need and I need to talk to somebody, let me know. but yeah, those would be the things I would say.
So as a reminder for anyone who heard this at the beginning, Ben and I have started the Solve Network, which you can find more information at thesolvenetwork.com. It is a coaching and mentoring business, but we are also offering a series of mastermind calls such as this one, where we are finding experts to give presentations and offer up discussions and questions and answers with people who may not otherwise connect with them. So if anyone would like to come on a call, we are launching our non-beta calls next year. We would like to grow the audience of not only people to listen to the calls, but people who want to come on and have a safe place to present and to polish their pitch and their talk. So I would encourage anyone that would like to go to the Solve Network, and you can sign up and we'll email you more information. So with that, I would like to thank Haley again so much, and please go to HaleyRowe.com for more information. And you can also listen to her podcast, which is Health Coach Nation, which is I would recommend listening to. They've gotten a lot of helpful tips out of that. And everyone have a great evening.
Hi, I'm Shane Borza, a climber, creator, and coach. And I want you to build the skill of health and fitness. My new course is a priceless gift to you, and it's available exclusively on PonoQuest.com. That's PONOQuest.com. Build the Skill is a minimalistic, functional, real-world fitness program which can help you to move better and get stronger faster. I can't wait for you to check it out. And when you do, please let me know how it helps you. That's Build the Skill at PonoQuest.com.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Solve Network. As a reminder, these calls are held live on the first and third Thursday of each month. If you'd like to join us as either a listener or guest expert, please contact me at shaneborza.com. On behalf of my co-founder, Benjamin Goss, we're glad you are a part of the network and hope you are finding solutions. If you need solutions, please reach out.